The lines are now merged.
Great. Okay. This is David Corus, Chair of the Board. Excuse me. Call the meeting to order at 12:03 p.m. And I will read off the attendance in no particular order. Grant Westerson.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Paul Hinch.
Here.
Parker Wise.
Here.
Tom Gill.
Here.
Tom Patton.
Here.
Paul Whitescarver.
Here.
Doug DeLena.
Here.
John Johnson. Dave Perillo. Alexandra Daum. Chuck Roman. Brian Thompson. John Carter. Felix Reyes. And Mayor Justin Elliker. Okay, with a quorum, we'll move on to the next item. Hi, did someone just join?
Yeah, this is Felix sitting in London. Sorry I'm late.
Hey, yeah, no worries, Felix. Hey, we're just getting started. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. We've got 2 minutes. I will take them up as separate items. First, we have the minutes of our April 18th regular meeting. I'll entertain a motion
David,
in second.
Grant will move those.
Great. Moved by Grant. Is there a second on the April 18th minutes?
Second, Tom Gill.
Second by Tom Gill. Thanks. Discussion. I actually have just one comment in the attendance and absence. We just need to be careful that we're not double counting folks who are representing or represented by a proxy or by an appointee. So, for example, here, I think Sarah Sanders, Doug, that's your alternate, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So she's not on board, right. And she wouldn't be counted if I'm here,
right.
Or if Treasurer's
correct.
Here.
Correct, right. So we just need staff. We just need to make sure that whenever there's a designee present that we're not also marking. I'll note on the next minutes we see Katie Dykes as well in absent, even though Brian Thompson is here, or was here, I should say, at that meeting. And then I'll also note on this one, both Felix and Tom Gill show up as both present and absent. That's it for me. Other comments or questions? Okay, with the changes in the attendance, all those in favor of approving the minutes from April 18th, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, moving on to the meeting minutes from the special meeting on May 30th. I'll just note my same comment stands for this one as well. And we've got Joe Salvatore listed as an absent board member. Is there a motion to approve? Thank you.
Yeah,
moved by Grant. Is there a second?
Second, Parker.
Second by Parker. Any other comments, changes, or discussion? Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes from May 30th, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, which is public comment. Please open up the public line, and any members of the public who wish to speak at this time, please press star 6, state your name, and make your comments.
Kevin Blacker, I'd like to speak.
Yep, go right ahead, Mr. Blacker.
So it's my understanding that you guys have completed 60% of the facility and are able to receive offshore wind components, as you already have, and we're told you're going to be able to ship those components out. 40% of the facility remains unfinished, and I guess that's where we're told the additional $53 million of state funding is going to be needed. Right off the bat, $53 million is not going to be enough. You guys have burned every contingency. You'll burn this one. This idea that the private partners are contributing some of that is a joke. That's a farce, a misleading farce. The taxpayer is going to pick up that whole bill. In light of the problems or the challenges that offshore wind is experiencing, like all these companies, say in Massachusetts, 4 out of 5 of these wind companies are attempting to renege on contracts that they entered into, saying they can't make any money, they can't secure financing, they're trying to back out. It's going to cause delays, which would translate to idle, an idle or less used facility. And in light of the, the uncertainty, that anybody following the challenges, the legal and growing political opposition to offshore wind down in New Jersey could see gambling our entire facility on offshore wind is extremely risky. You guys have run into problem after problem after problem, and it's all to take the facility to the extremely high needs, the specialized needs of offshore wind. I want to know why we don't change course. Why don't you guys stop banging your head against the wall and try something new? Stop endlessly throwing our money at this bad idea and focus the other 40% of the facility on conventional cargo. There's all sorts of other opportunities related to offshore wind that could be shipped out of that, such as rock. There's a subsea rock installation vessel, 472 feet, can hold 20,000 tons of rocks. Rocks are a huge problem and a byproduct of construction and agriculture. There should be a space in our region to ship those out of. We're going to have a $350 million asset by the time we're done, because if I'm understanding it correctly, GMP on three areas is still not, locked in. And you guys haven't been able to meet a mark yet. You're not going to meet 310. It's going to go over. So 310 million asset, and we're going to allow Ørsted to sublease that. We're going to to keep the revenue. So they have to pay us $2 million a year, and as I understand it, they get to keep whatever over that to pay themselves back. I just want to put out there that we, the Connecticut taxpayer, the Port Authority, is paying $525,000 for the 5-acre NECR property. That's 105. That's $105,000 per acre. If our facility is 30 acres, and they're going to pay $2 million, that's $6,000. They're paying much less an acre than we are. And I know you guys are bad negotiators, but I just hope that somebody is looking out for that. They're paying a very small amount of money for something, $310 million asset. Let's see. Want to point out the coronavirus is over. In case you guys haven't realized, we're still having these pathetic phone meetings on this rinky-dink telephone line. Never loud enough. You can't hear a word that Ulysses Hammond is like he's mumbling or whispering into the microphone. And you're justifying, failing to have in-person meetings with the coronavirus, and it's over. I think that it really speaks volumes that you guys are incapable of even holding a board meeting? And how does anybody expect that you're going to manage, but one of the largest construction projects in the state? So the last thing I want to touch on is $18,500 fine issued to Henry Wan. Connecticut Examiner reported yesterday or today that the Attorney General investigation is open and ongoing. I hope that anybody bothered to read the agreement or the consent order that was entered into with the Office of State Ethics, the gross violations of power of Henry Wan that led to Seabury being chosen, that led largely to this deal that we have. It's no wonder at all why this deal is so pathetically screwed up and so grossly overcost. It's because it's crooked. It's dishonest and it's crooked. You're never going to be able to fix it because it's just dishonest. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Great, thanks. Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Reminder to press *6 to unmute your line. Any members of the public? Okay, we'll close the public comment session. I'm not going to go through all of the misinformation that Mr. Blacker just shared with the public, but I will just point out a couple things that were just egregious. He mentioned that the private partners will not pay any of the additional $47.5 million in construction costs. That's blatantly not true, given that at our special meeting 3 weeks ago, we approved an amendment to the HDA, which commits them to pay 23.75 or half of that. And he mentioned that Ørsted would be entitled to all sublease revenue, and that is just plain wrong. With that, I'll move on to item number 4, the executive director's update, and hand it over to you, Ulysses.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. But before I begin my report, I would like to encourage everyone to do a drive-by and just ride by the Port of New London to appreciate what you as a board have accomplished to date. The turbines are due to arrive later this month, but the main attraction right now is the mobilization of the heavy lift equipment, which as you drive over the Gold Star Bridge are at an amazing eye and above level of the bridge. The transformation is heartwarming and gratifying, and I hope you get an opportunity to truly appreciate the rewarding work you have extended over the years on behalf of the citizens of our state. It is, I think, an amazing sight to see, and the turbines and components haven't even arrived. And I just hope you get a chance to witness this right now, because it's an amazing sight right now. Let me start really with some administrative and operational updates to the board. As the interim executive director, on May 8th, I executed an emergency sole source agreement with Robert Half Protivity off the state's DAS contract list for the purpose of acquiring temporary administrative assistance as authorized under the CPA procurement manual and the CPA operating procedures. I've also provided the board a full report with relevant citations in your board material. Upon the departure of the Business Development and Special Projects Manager in March, it became acutely apparent that as the only full-time on-site employee of the agency, critical services, functions, and governmental operations would be adversely affected if emergency temporary assistance were not acquired. Several operations and functions were at risk of delay and possible execution omission. The contract period for this agreement is May 2023 through September of 2023, and pursuant to CPA operating procedures, if the purchase or procurement may exceed $25,000, the reason for the sole source procurement and waiver must be provided to the board as part of its monthly meeting. It is anticipated that this procurement may exceed $25,000, but less than the $50,000 public solicitation threshold under our policy. Therefore, under item 4A of the board's agenda, I seek the board's approval as required per the CPA policy. And so, Mr. Chairman, is this something you would like to take up at this point in time or wait later?
No, I think this is a good point to take it up. You're required to report on it to the board, and you're doing so in your update. And so I think we should take it up at this time.
Okay.
I'll read the resolution and then entertain a motion and second, and then we can discuss. Resolved that the board of directors hereby approve the sole source emergency procurement of a temporary assistant in accordance with Section 2B, subsection 1 of the Connecticut Port Authority Procurement Manual and Section C5, subsections 2, 3, 4, and Section 6, subsection 1 of the Connecticut Port Authority Operating Procedure Policy by the Interim Executive Director. Is there a motion to approve the use of sole source by the Executive Director for the hiring of a temporary assistant?
So moved, Parker.
So moved, Paul.
Moved by Parker, second by Paul. Any discussion or comments?
Hey, David, it's Tom Gill. Is the agreement signed already as of May 8th?
Yes. Our procedures allow for the initiation as long as the executive director reports on it to the board at its next regular meeting.
Okay, fine. So the approval can be subsequent to the contract being signed.
That's right.
Yep, it is. It's right. Designed to be. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you.
And this is Doug DeLina. I was just going to follow up with another question just to clarify that. Is the procurement procedure require a report, or does it also explicitly require the board to approve it subsequently? I'm not necessarily, even if it doesn't require that, I'm not necessarily against taking a vote to endorse it. I just wanted to clarify
It requires the report. The report, yes. It requires the executive director to report. But
trying to go above and beyond.
That's right.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, or discussion?
Nope.
Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Ulysses, back to you.
Okay. And I'd like to add that assisting me at various stages of this process that we just talked about were the Office of Policy and Management, the Law Office of Robson and Cole, the DAS Director of Procurement as well. And I'm just most grateful really for the good counsel and assistance that I received in this regard. Moving on to the office lease. The first term of the CPA office lease in Old Saybrook ended on June 14 with 2 3-year extension options. On June 9, I provided the landlord, Saybrook's Junction, notice of the CPA's desire and intent to execute its first 3-year extension, effective June 15. The extension was accepted on June 12, and I provide a copy of the lease agreement in the board's packet for your information, and will seek your approval under 4B. And so I now seek your approval for the extension of our lease in Old Saybrook.
Great. Thanks, Ulysses. I'll do the same. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, so moves. Gotcha. Thanks, Tom. So move to execute the first option. Was that Grant?
Yes, it is.
Great. Any discussion or comments or questions? Okay, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, back to you, Ulysses.
Okay, with respect to the hiring of a CPA office manager, the last day for submission of applications was May 31. A panel consisting of Dave Perillo, Brian Thompson, and myself are in the process of ranking candidates for interview. We are assisted by the Director of Human Resources at Connecticut Innovations. Moving on now to a financial management report, the CPA office continues to provide a wide range of financial management operations and reports. I have provided some examples of those in my report as well. The finance office has completed the third quarter report for the Office of Fiscal Analysis, which is on the board's agenda for your consideration and approval under item 5B. So I would like to also perhaps move to 5B if we could, Mr. Chairman, and actually address this as well, or would you like to handle this later as part of the finance report?
Let's do that when we go through finance committee.
Okay. With respect to state auditors of public accounts, our office has provided all requested financial and operational documentation to the state auditors for the biennial audit for fiscal years 2020 and 2021. Additionally, I have, in consultation with OPM, reviewed and commented on the draft report, which is currently under consideration by State Auditor of Public Accounts Management. When it comes to the procurement update, last year the authority worked closely with the State Contracting Standards Board and the Office of Policy and Management to develop a new procurement manual to supplement the authority's operating procedures. We have several procurements to conduct in 2023, which will meet the threshold of the newly established procurement standards. Most notably, those procurements include legal services and auditing services. These will be the first multi-year procurements conducted since the new procedures were established. With respect to the New Haven Harbor Navigation Project, as reported in February, I executed the design phase agreement with the United States Army Corps of Engineers. The New Haven Harbor Strategic Partner meeting was held on June 6, where there was extensive discussion regarding the progress of the design efforts being undertaken by the Corps. The items discussed at the meeting, specific to design components, included the fact that surveys are being conducted in June and July of the entrance channel, turning basin at West River, and the beneficial use sites. Geophysical analysis and borings are scheduled to start late fall, and a final report is due winter of this year. Ship simulation efforts are planned for July and August at a core facility in Vicksburg, Virginia, and hydrodynamic modeling is ongoing in advance of those simulation sessions. Construction is scheduled to begin October of 2025. Moving on to Fort Trumbull, GZA Environmental is responsible for permitting coordination with the state and federal entities, as well as plans and specifications for bidding. According to Joe Salvatore, GZA is currently working on design plans at this moment. When it comes to the SHIP program, as you may recall, on April 6, I testified before the Bond Commission in support of the CPA Board's recommendation of the following small harbor improvement projects, and the Commission approved those projects. I listed those projects as well in my report. And on May the 3rd, the CPA, with the assistance of Joe Salvatore, distributed the grant agreements to the awarded municipalities for execution. To date, 6 of 9 awards have been fully executed. The grants are administered on a reimbursement basis when the projects are completed and accepted. With respect to Connecticut State Dredging Team, the State Dredging Team met on June the 12th, where the Corps provided a detailed update on the New Haven Deepening Project, the Bridgeport and Black Rock Harbor Dredge Material Management Plan, Milford Harbor, Southport Harbor as well, and Clinton Harbor, and a five-year outlook plan. When it comes to the statewide dredging study, and that is the planning assistance to states, those efforts continue, and there is an updated study task list that I've also provided in my report for your perusal. With respect to the Connecticut Pilot Commission, two Connecticut pilots received extensions of route to their licenses, one for the Thames River to Allen Point and the other for Bridgeport Harbor. Additionally, Connecticut pilots, after participating in strategic simulation training regarding the Port of New London, successfully docked the first vessel on May 19, 2023 at the delivery berth, tug assisted by Thames Towing and McAllister Towing. When it comes to the educational outreach that we've been conducting and we continue to conduct at all times, and opportunities for site visits at the Port of New London, on May 16, David Corris and I provided Ed Mahoney of the Hartford Current an on-site tour and in-depth description of the construction challenges and innovations of the State Pier in New London. On May 12, I also met on-site and off-site with Lee Howard, the recently appointed business editor of the day, who introduced me also to the new managing editor. It was an opportunity to provide a status update and calendar of upcoming milestones and events. On May 30, David Curtis and I conducted a virtual briefing with the local legislative delegation to update them regarding status of the State Pier project and field any questions, of course, and concerns that they might have had at that time as well. I followed up also with a discussion by providing them with some summary communication points and information that could be useful in discussing the project with their constituents and other legislative colleagues. On June 5, Joe Salvatore and I met and provided a site tour with Captain Thomas Morgan, the Director of North Atlantic, U.S. Department of Transportation, Maritime Administration. He was interested in seeing firsthand the construction site that will be the staging assembly location for turbines, as well as bringing the CPA up to date on the status of DOT grant processes and procedures and key personnel. On June 15, Troy Patton, Orsted head of Region America Project Execution, met and toured on site with David Kurz. I was attending my grandson's graduation at that time and would have had I been here as well. But he did that, Troy Patton did that to get an update, really, on the and assess the construction operations of Siemens Gamesa, their turbine staging preparation progress. Also, as part of our continuous community outreach and education, on June 27th, coming up, I will attend the annual New London NAACP Freedom Fund Dinner on behalf of the CPA, and parenthetically, I might add, at my own expense. The CPA will have an ad, however, in the booklet regarding the Port of New London and its promise. Mr. Chairman, I also have a report regarding the New London State Pier construction project. We can take that up at this time if you would like. I'd like to also indicate that I omitted it from the agenda by mistake, but I can still take that particular item up at this point in time if you would like.
Yeah, let's do that now.
Okay. Joining me also to answer any questions from a technical construction standpoint is our construction administrator, Marlon Peterson. Following the turnover of the Northeast Bulkhead Heavy Lift Platform, which is our delivery berth, and the adjacent upland areas in February and in April of this year, a third substantial milestone has been achieved. This month, a significant portion of the central wharf was substantially completed and has been turned over to the terminal operator gateway. The turnover of these terminal areas for operations has enabled the commencement of heavy lift crane assembly and is aiding in the first and historic State of Connecticut delivery of offshore wind components later this month. Concurrent with the increase of terminal operations, construction activities will continue at distinct locations, including the South Wall, State Pier Heavy Lift Platform, and the State Pier Toll Wall. As noted in previous reports to the board, these specific areas continue to be challenged due to existing conditions associated with deep obstructions and variable rock elevation. Also, since the last board meeting, installation of the last two pipe piles for the State Pier Heavy Lift Platform were completed in May. During the month of May and June, the first and second concrete deck pours for the State Pier Heavy Lift Platform have been also completed. These two pours, out of a total of five pours, represent roughly 37% of the overall platform size. Once all five deck pours are completed and the concrete cures, dense graded aggregate, or what we call DGA, is placed to complete the platform. The remaining three deck pours are scheduled for July, August, and September, and completion of the construction project remains scheduled for late fall of 2023. I'd like to turn this over now to Marlon for any additional technical aspects of the construction project that you might be interested in as well. Marlon?
Thank you, Executive Director, and good afternoon. Just to fill in a couple more pieces for you, as the Executive Director mentioned, we did facilitate that third substantial completion milestone, and with that, a further 15% of the terminal area has been converted from construction activity to terminal operations. Therefore, building on what you heard earlier, in aggregate, 75% of the terminal is now available for operations. Since your previous update, our team continues to address, as mentioned by the Executive Director Hammond, the subsurface obstructions, pile tolerance, pile capacity issues along the western end of the south wall and along the State Pier tow wall. At that south wall, consistent with your previous approvals, we have completed the driving of the 36-inch diameter pipe piles. We've also completed the anchor wall placement, and that allowed the backfilling activities in the wedge, or what we describe the wedge area, the very southern end of the terminal. These accomplishments have enabled the installation of the tie rods that provide the structural capacity along that new south wall that ties together the previous State Pier and the CVRR Pier. These tie rod placements have also then enabled additional fill and vibro compaction within that overall completion of that 7-acre area to densify the soil, which then ultimately builds the capacity for the DGA placement and the final operating surface. We are working in an east-to-west manner, and the completion of the south wall is scheduled for the October-November timeframe. Progress at the State Pier Heavy Lift Platform has also progressed, as you heard, with the deck pours. Other activities that have been completed are the shear rings, or the shear ring installation within the pipe pile, the placement of riprap along the underwater slope of the heavy lift platform, and now that pile driving for the piles that created the platform, now that that's complete, we've also moved back up onto the State Pier tow wall, and you may recall we have 27 rock sockets to install due to the higher than anticipated rock elevation. As noted, the first and second pours at the heavy lift platform have been completed. To give you an idea, these are 500 to 600 cubic yard concrete pours that are the culmination of, you know, the pile driving, the carpentry to create the formwork, the rebar installation, and ultimately concrete finishing. The lead time for each of these pours is measured in months and then ultimately down to weeks. And the pour itself takes upwards of 6 to 8 hours, with surface finishing continuing thereafter. Our last three pours are planned for July, August, and September, and that still continues to represent a portion of the project's critical path. Once the concrete and the DGA are placed, we will complete this area and the second berth with fenders and bollards, and then the adjacent dredging of the installation berth. And when we complete that, State Pier, New London State Pier will be the only facility in the U.S. that has two heavy lift berths to accommodate its broad range of cargoes. That ends the technical part of the construction update for the month of June. Ulysses, back to you, unless there's questions.
Thank you, Marlon. We can open this up for any questions that anyone might have.
Any members of the board have any questions either on anything that was in Ulysses' overall update or anything Ulysses or Marlon described in their project update? Okay. Ulysses, you have anything else you want to add before I move on to Finance Committee?
No, Mr. Chairman. All set. Thank you so much.
Great. So Finance Committee update, we had a meeting this morning at 10 a.m. We went through our monthly finances, which I'll talk about briefly, passed a resolution to recommend to the board the adoption of the fiscal 24 budget as presented previously, and then we also have a quarterly report that we will ask the board to take up. But first, I'll just describe briefly some very high points from our committee meeting. We went through the current budget. We made some budget adjustments. And, you know, I actually think I don't see that on the agenda, but I actually think we have to have the full board adopt those adjustments. We shifted $95,000 from lines that we do not expect to need their entire allotment and to budget lines where we do expect some overages. And those overages were in, not surprisingly, outside legal, insurance, things that we've been discussing for several months. But the bottom line is we now have received our first rent payment from NEO, $500,000, based on their commencement of their use of the terminal and our signing of the sublease. We are now nearly break even. I think our current deficit at the end of May was $20,000. We do expect that will stay minimal. And has ample room for coverage in our reserves, which total approximately $1.5 million. So I'm going to go through three items. Again, apologies that the budget adjustments were not on the agenda. So maybe just to be really clear and careful, I'll first entertain a motion to take up the budget adjustments that were approved by the Finance Committee. Is there a motion to take up the budget adjustments?
So moved, Doug Delina.
Moved by Doug, and I think I heard a second from Grant. Any comments or discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, just give me one second because I have to get them out of my email because I don't have them right in front of me. Okay. So I will read off the resolution that was approved by the committee this morning. So moved to take from the following accounts in the following amounts: $51,300 communications outreach sponsorship in the amount of $20,000, $51,400 contractual services in the amount of $20,000. $51,770 marketing business development in the amount of $40,000, 51710 advertising in the amount of $10,000 and 52050 dues memberships in the amount of $5,000 for a total shift from those accounts of $95,000 to the following accounts and the following amounts. 51403 contractual consultant professional services $20,000. 51600 legal services internal $5,000. 51602 legal services external $40,000. 52250 office supplies $2,000. 52551 office equipment $5,000. 52652 insurance liability $23,000 for a total shift to those accounts of $95,000. Is there a motion to effectuate those shifts or transfers?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, moved by Tom Gill, second by Grant. Any comments or discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next, the Finance Committee this morning voted to recommend that the board approve the fiscal year budget, and we had a discussion on this at our last meeting, and so this is the same budget, and you know, I don't actually see this. Yeah, okay, fiscal 24 budget, sorry. And so I will read off this resolution. This is the same budget that we saw as a full board at our April meeting, and we indicated that we would have months to digest it. And just as a refresher, it basically takes the operating plan from this year and continues it status quo. We'll have the opportunity during the next fiscal year, once we're in post-construction operations, to make adjustments if we so plan, and the current, proposed budget projects a surplus at the end of next fiscal year, a year from now, of just over $900,000. I will read the resolution, entertain a motion and second, and then we can discuss. Resolved in accordance with Article 1, Section 5 of the Connecticut Port Authority, hereinafter referred to as the authority, bylaws of Section 4 of the authority's operating procedures, the authority hereby approves the fiscal year 2024 annual operating budget and plan of operation as recommended by the Finance Committee at its meeting of 20th of June 2023 and as defined and attached hereto as the exhibit to agenda item number 5A. Is there a motion to approve the budget as previously reviewed and recommended by the Finance Committee?
Yeah, motion to approve, please.
Moved by Grant. Is there a second?
Second, Tom Gill.
Second by Tom. Thank you. Any questions, comments, or discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, finally, we have a resolution for the Office of Fiscal Analysis report for the third quarter fiscal year 2023, as recommended by the Finance Committee at our meeting a month ago. Resolved that the Board of Directors authorizes submission of the Q3 quarterly financial report to the Office of Fiscal Analysis as required by Section 1-123B of the Connecticut General Statutes as recommended by the Finance Committee at its meeting held on May 16, 2023 in the form attached as exhibit to Agenda Item 5B. Is there a motion to approve the submission of our quarterly report?
So moved.
Moved by Tom. Is there a second?
Second, Doug Delina.
Second by Doug. Thank you. Any comments or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Okay, Ulysses, that includes our discussion on the Finance Committee, and I'll pass it back over to you for item 6 regarding the OPM MOU.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our current MOU with the Office of Policy and Management ends at the end of this month, that is June 30 of 2023. We have received outstanding assistance from the Office of Policy and Management with respect to oversight of some of the financial management issues and operations within the CPA. And today I'm requesting that we extend that MOU until December 31 of 2023. That is my request that I am seeking approval of from the board today.
Okay, any questions before I enter into the resolution? And Ulysses, just to be clear, none of the other terms change. This is an extension as we've done before. We're
Absolutely.
Very appreciative of OPM's willingness to continue to work with us and ensure financial stability. The only change here, Ulysses, is the date of extension. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Any other questions for Ulysses before I read the resolution? Okay, resolved that the executive director is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the authority to execute and deliver an amendment to that certain memorandum of understanding, here and after referred to as the MOU, with an effective date of September 6, 2019, by and between the authority and the Office of Policy and Management, as amended to further extend the end date of the MOU to December 31, 2023, as described in the form attached hereto as the exhibit to agenda item number 6, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions as are reasonably required in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, Tom Patton.
Moved by Tom Patton, second by Graham. Any comments, questions, or discussion?
Is there a particular reason why we do this in 6 months intervals?
It's a good question, Paul. I mean, we've talked about this quite a bit. I think there's always been a little bit of a give and take where OPM understandably wants to move on, but we welcome continued support. I don't think it's, I want to be clear that it's not indicative of any particular issue. It's just around the relationship, and we keep kind of extending it as additional milestones are met, getting us to the next audit. We're now sort of in agreement that with transitions in our finance department, with the project nearing completion, getting us to the end of the year is warranted, but there's never really been the willingness to extend it out over a longer period of time. And so that has kind of put us in a position where we're constantly discussing it with OPM and trying to find that next best extension. I certainly can't say or won't say here today that this will be the last, but we'll assess the situation as a staff and as a board as the end of the year approaches. But I can understand why folks would have questions, why we do it incrementally. I think at least recently we've been doing it on sort of 6 month extensions rather than there was a moment in time where we were doing it shorter term. Hopefully these 6 month tranches make a little bit more sense.
And if I might add, this is Paul. So the objective is to get CPA to be self-sustaining, and so that's really why we do it for the 6 months. It's a pretty easy process just to re-up for an additional 6 months, but that is our goal, is to get them.
David, a short comment. David, a short comment.
Yeah, please, go right ahead, Greg.
I think we certainly welcome their support and their overlook, but I think it's a good idea for the 6 month intervals from the public standpoint. It renews the fact that it's just not one person stirring the pot, that there's some oversight, and I think it's a good and productive way of doing it.
That's a great point, Grant. If nothing else, it serves as a reminder that there is this partnership ongoing and that we do have lots of eyes on our financial house. That's a good point.
Exactly.
I guess the question I would have is, what does self-sufficiency look like? I mean, you know, when I was there in 2019, I mean, we've had this oversight for a long time, and, you know, I personally am looking on as a lot of other people are wondering what self-sufficiency would – I don't know what that visualizes to anybody.
Yeah. I think my personal perspective is I think we have come a tremendous way in terms of, as you're all well aware, you know, having policies and procedures in place, having a track record of following those now, having our financial accounting in a situation where we really have visibility on our full breadth of activities and accounts. You know, with our now, you know, our regular reporting on all of our capital accounts and our core accounts and the escrow, et cetera, I think where we struggle is in staff consistency. And that has definitely, you know, I think but for that issue, I think we would be at or very nearly approaching self-sufficiency. So, you know, my personal perspective on it is that we have the systems in place and we have the information in place, but we need to get to a point where we have a permanent finance director who has, you know, an established period under their belt, and you know, we have some confidence that there'll be consistency there going forward.
Thanks.
But Yeah, sure. I mean, I hope, you know, we've had, you know, certainly any board members who want, you know, a little closer look on this, definitely join the finance committee meetings. I can certainly say from my perspective, those meetings have changed drastically for the better over the course of the last year and a half, where we now have what I would consider to be comprehensive reporting. We have, you know, a very clear sense of our cash balance and, you know, certainly the information that positions us to make good decisions, or make decisions based on good information, at least. But, you know, we still have a ways to go on staff consistency. Other comments or questions? Okay, we motioned and seconded, so if there's no other comments, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, is there any old business that anyone would like to bring up? Motion to adjourn.
So move.
Move by Grant. Is there a second?
Second, Tom.
Second by Tom Gill. Meeting is adjourned at 12:57. Thanks, everybody. Remember, there's no regular board meeting next month. We'll be in touch if we have a need for a special meeting.